The following is a paid program.
The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into our Shuffle Beat Coffee Monday morning quarterback show here on the Leach Report. Coach Steve Ortmeier is alongside. A little later, we'll hook up with Jacob Tammy for a segment as we talk about the Kentucky football game against Georgia on Saturday. The Wildcats playing for the SEC Eastern Division title came up short 34-17. We will talk about that as we move through the show today. If you have some questions, you can email leachreport@gmail.com. You can call or you can tweet and tweet at Tom Leach KY account for this show today. It'll be easier to pull those up there, and we'll try to answer any of your questions. Our guest lineup each day is always presented by Sleep Outfitters. Wildcat News of the Day is a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. The day got started off on a sour note when Kentucky, after getting one first down in its first series, punted, and Georgia ran it back 65 yards to set them up at the 23, and they went down and scored in four plays, and they get a touchdown within the first couple of minutes of the game and took a little bit of the crowd out of it, got Kentucky back on its heels, and we'll talk about all this with Coach Ortmeier here in a bit as far as getting into the nuts and bolts of it, but I thought it was a tremendous atmosphere. Kudos to all the Kentucky fans for what they did when the team came out for warm-ups, I don't know, 45 minutes, hour before the game. There were already a bunch of people in the stadium cheering. It's not always going to be like that, but when that kind of game is on the line, you need to maximize your home field advantage, and the fans certainly did their part to do that. And it was just, I think, just a fun week for all of the Big Blue Nation to get caught up in all of that. Kentucky needs to do what Missouri did last week, which is bounce back from a disappointing loss, go on the road, and play one of your best games. Missouri did that and won at Florida. If Kentucky does that, there's a great chance that this team could still finish up 10-2, end up in a New Year's Six Bowl, and probably end up in the top 10 if they do that and also win their bowl game. Kentucky was pleasantly surprised, only slipped one notch in the AP poll to 12. They're 12 in the coaches' poll, too. So what that tells you is that the people looking at the Wildcat football team that are outside the Big Blue Nation see a team that is legitimate and that lost to an outstanding opponent, and they didn't get penalized much for that. The game at Tennessee, by the way, is going to kick at 3:30 on Saturday on the SEC Network. Kentucky's been installed as a slight favorite, but a field goal and a half. Bowl projections, I've seen several for the Fiesta for Kentucky, a couple for the Peach. So a lot of people are still thinking a New Year's Six Bowl. I think they see Kentucky finishing out at 10-2. And if not those, then I think the next most logical would be the Citrus Bowl on New Year's Day. The Fiesta's on New Year's Day. The Peach is on December 29th, actually, same day as UK-UofL basketball game. Basketball, speaking of that, yesterday Cal and a couple of players talked with the media in advance of the matchup with Duke tomorrow night in the Champions Classic in Indianapolis to start the season. Cal said, as far as his veterans, that the experience they have should make them less anxious in this matchup. I think the Kentucky freshmen might have a little bit of approach to this like the Georgia running backs did. I think it was Swift. I saw a quote from him where he said something to the effect he was hearing too much about Benny Snell and he was going to show what he could do, and he did. He had a great game. The Kentucky freshman hearing a lot about Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett and the Duke freshman class. I imagine they have a bit of a chip on their shoulder, and I imagine that's why you saw Reed Travis and P.J. Washington doing the media session yesterday, so Kentucky doesn't give any bulletin board material to Duke. I just go back to that second game in the Bahamas when Kentucky was facing a team that they were from Serbia that it was clear from everything you read that was really focused on making a statement by beating Kentucky. That they wanted to to show what their program was there, that they have. It was an older team, grown men, as the saying goes, and they were going to be physical with Kentucky. And they came out and tried to take the fight to the Wildcats. Kentucky players had been told that's what the kind of game it was going to be, and those young guys responded incredibly well. I think we'll see something like that against Duke tomorrow night, but we'll see how it plays out. Volleyball, 15 straight with a 3-0 win over Ole Miss in Oxford yesterday. And Kentucky football has offered a scholarship to a 2020 running back from Tennessee named T. Hodge. Now, the interesting thing about T. Hodge is who his uncle is, Randall Cobb. Randall put out a tweet after the game that he was something to the effect of he was disappointed about the loss on Sunday Night Football, but was really thrilled to see the news off T. Hodge's Twitter that he had received an offer from the University of Kentucky. News or links to the stories that we talk about each day. This opening segment, you can find them courtesy of the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. We're on location at Wild Eggs, and we're in the Palomar store today. So come on out and join us. If you are coming out for the show or after, tell them you're a fan of the Leach Report, and you'll get free coffee for your whole table here at Wild Eggs in Palomar. We'll be right back with Coach Ortmeier. It's the Leach Report Radio Network, the Wild Eggs in Palomar.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
I felt the game was in our hands. And I don't care what nobody's telling me. Like, we were close in some of those situations. Like, we're about to go to the red zone and score, you know what I'm saying? And we jump off sides. Or we have stupid penalties and then we got players being kicked out the game. Like, we hurt ourselves.
That was Benny Snell after the game, and I think he makes some very good points there as we get back into our Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday morning quarterback edition of the Leach Report on location at the Wild Eggs in Palomar with Coach Steve Ortmeier. You know, we were just talking about this before the show. There were several key plays, a handful that we can talk about that I think led to the way the score played out. But the biggest one was right off the top. Georgia's first possession starts at Kentucky's 23-yard line because of the punt return. You're a special teams guy.
That was a huge play in the game. And you know, Mecole Hardman is, in my opinion, I went back and looked at four Georgia games. And Georgia's who they are. They didn't do anything against us they haven't done. Their best football player is Mecole Hardman. There isn't any question. He is a real factor. He understands returning kicks. And he understands the game a lot better than most players do, and he's their best player. And I'm sure that Hood had talked that during the course of the week. But Duffy, being a young kid, probably doesn't really assimilate it the way he should have. And you just can't mess with Hardman. You can't give their best player a chance to beat you.
Yeah.
And that's what we did, and he beat us.
Yeah. It was the kick was supposed to be over to the side. To pin him into the side, get the return, bottle him up back in there, and instead it was down the middle of the field Hardman got to catch it in space.
Yeah, if nothing else, you hit it as sky high as you can,
yeah.
And even if it goes 35 yards, you're still in the game because Hardman can't beat you. But
you know, that's sometimes when you want something. It's a quote. I was trying to find it yesterday, and I couldn't. It's a John Wooden quote about wanting something so badly and how it can affect your performance. And I think there's probably some of that went on for Kentucky.
There may have been some of that.
That's where you make a mistake. You don't do something you're coached to do.
Yeah.
You get a penalty. You fumble the ball, whatever it might be.
And just bottom line, Benny said a lot in what he just said. A lot of what he said is very true. But to me, like I say, I went back and looked at four Georgia games. And I saw two teams on Saturday, one of which I had seen before, Georgia, and one of which I had never seen before, Kentucky. Kentucky did things and that they've never done before this season. And unfortunately, those were not good things for us. And I think, Tom, it's exactly what you're saying. I think it's where we are. You know, Coach Stoops has said for 6 years now. This is a process. And I think that that was really evident in this game. This is a process, and this is where we are, and that's where Georgia is. Georgia is not a – this is a, maybe a foolish thing to say, but Georgia is not much better football team than Kentucky, if at all. If we played Georgia 10 times, I agree with you that it would be
– I don't think it's 8 or 9. I think it's probably I think 6.
Absolutely, or it may be even 5 and 5.
And the reason I say that is Georgia had more talent. There's no doubt about that, and you saw that overall talent, all the 4 stars, 5 stars. But Kentucky had more experience. Georgia's the youngest team in the SEC, so that's where Kentucky had a chance in this matchup, I think, because of the experience they had. They got because they wanted it so badly, maybe they make some errors. But the thing about that is, I think that subsides if you get off to a good start. If you don't give up the big punt return and maybe you jump on them first, then some of that subsides, and then maybe you put a little pressure on them because they're trailing. Instead, they get out to an early lead. They get that touchdown right before halftime. It's 14-3, and all of a sudden, Kentucky's playing a little desperate.
Yep, and doing things that desperate people do.
And then the next key thing that was crucial is the targeting call on Darius West, which was the correct call. So the targeting play of Darius West, you not only lose a guy who's a big part of the heart and soul of your defense, it was a 3rd and 9. You had him stopped, so they were going to kick a field goal. Instead, they get a touchdown. Instead of 17-3, it's 21-3. That's a big difference. And I thought that was a key play. It was not a bad call, but it was just a key play.
That was a key play. And then missing the tackle when we got him
2nd and 17.
Which we just haven't done this year.
Yeah. And you know who the two guys that missed him?
Yeah,
Mike Edwards and Josh Allen.
Yeah.
So they're not perfect, as Cal says. They're not computers.
That's exactly right. But we just haven't done that this year.
Right.
And all of a sudden we did in a big, big game.
So, you know, that's... Those are the things you go back and look at. You pick it apart. I know the players will do that too. It's frustrating, but what you've got to be able to do now, and this is where that experience hopefully comes to bear for Kentucky, is you've got to be able to put it behind you starting today and get back out and get refocused and go take care of business in Knoxville.
Well, you pointed it out perfectly. That's what Missouri did in Gainesville, and that's exactly what we need to do, because this has a chance. You know, I hope people don't jump ship on this team, because certainly the nation hasn't. And it's the first time this year that the nation has exhibited this. But the nation is with Kentucky right now, and just as you said, if we can go get these last 3 games and be impressive about it, we'll end up in a big time bowl, and we'll end up in the top 10.
Yeah, I mean those are two, and you know, if you win out and you win the bowl game, you're talking about 11 wins and top 10 in the country, and that's an incredible season.
And that's what this team deserves to this point.
Yeah.
They just weren't quite ready for what ran into Saturday, but other than that, they've deserved to be where they are, and they need to continue that by bouncing back.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with Coach Ortmeier. Jacob Tammy will join us here in a bit. We'll get his perspective. Got an email question we'll get to, or an email point we'll get to, about the Tennessee game when we come right back. It's the Leach Report Radio Network, our Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday Morning Quarterback Edition from Wild Eggs in Palomar.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
We're on location at the Wild Eggs in Palomar with Coach Ortmeier. It's our Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday Morning Quarterback Edition of the Leach Report. And if you come out to the Wild Eggs in Palomar during our show today or afterward, tell them you're a fan of the Leach Report. You'll get free coffee for your whole table. You can punch us up on the iHeartRadio app, listen to the show while you're enjoying your meal. I've got a question here, or more a point, I guess, than a question, from Rick. Emails leachreport@gmail.com. The upcoming game with Tennessee will be the toughest of the Cats' remaining 3 and determine whether or not they remain in a New Year's Day bowl game. No argument there. He said Tennessee held out their best running back, Chandler, who is also a dangerous receiver, in the game on Saturday where they barely beat Charlotte. He says, go look at the Auburn game, Tennessee, and you realize Tennessee won that game. You realize that with two one-handed linebackers and the first half loss of Darius West, this will be an extremely tough game for the Kentucky defense. And I think he's right.
Oh, he's right on that. He's right on. You'll never know how much the two one hands hurt us in the Georgia game, but losing West was a key for us. For me, West is a key to that defense.
Well, I know talking to Matt House before the game, he said one of the things, he said Fromm's really good at reading coverages. And he said one thing we'll have to do is, with our safeties in particular, is disguise some things. So you lose one of your senior safeties right at the outset of the third quarter for the rest of the game.
Yeah, Devontae Robinson's going to have to step up big in the first half of the Tennessee game.
Because, and I think you'll see Ajon Moore as the fifth when they go nickel.
Yeah. I don't care who you play, who you're playing when you play Tennessee. They are tough in Knoxville. They will be tough.
Yes, and they are still playing for a bowl game. They're 4-5.
Sure.
So
sure.
They have a shot. They've got Kentucky and Vandy left. I'm not sure who else. So they've got a shot to probably Missouri. So they've got a shot to get to a bowl game for a new coach.
Yeah.
So they've still got a lot to play for. They haven't lost to Kentucky on their home field since 1984. So you'll get Tennessee's best.
You'll get their best game. You will get their best game, and you'll get a juiced up team.
Last year, Kentucky won the game despite a -4 in turnovers, which rarely happens in football, and especially in the SEC. And game on Saturday, or the game that they beat Auburn, I think they were +2 or +3 in turnovers. But their quarterback's not turning it over. He only has 2 interceptions all season. He had his best passing game of the year as last season, I think, as a freshman against Kentucky. Played really well against Auburn. Other than the Alabama game, he's been playing well lately. Here's a question from Cat's Den. What was up with giving over 300 yards rushing? You know, the game, I don't think that's clearly not who Kentucky is.
Well, a lot of what was up was, as you mentioned before, the freshman linebackers were in the game on the long run.
So there's 83 yards there.
So that's 83 of it right there. And then, and the rest of it, to me, occurred when we lost Darius West.
No, because at halftime, I think Georgia had 89 yards rushing.
Yeah.
So Darius is the number one tackler. You lost your number one tackler. They got 83 on one play. So, you know, the game got a little lopsided. Georgia's running it even more. So that's how it happens. I don't think that's who Kentucky is. I think they're more the defense that, and they will have to be at Tennessee Saturday, more the defense that gave up 89 yards rushing in the first half to Georgia and that has played exceptionally well all season. But football's a game where it's momentum, circumstances, whatever, start working against you, it can you can get some separation in a hurry, good or bad.
Yeah, that's really true. We've talked about this, and we don't need to beat a dead horse, but usually when you go into a hostile situation, like we're going to see in Knoxville, I don't know how hostile it will be. Well, probably won't be as hostile as when Tennessee had good teams, But you go into a hostile situation, and one of the things you need to do right off the bat is quiet the crowd. Well, we quieted the crowd in our own home stadium right off
that
the bat.
That punt return.
So that was terrible.
We are halfway home on this edition of the Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday Morning Quarterback Show for the Leach Report on location at the Wild Eggs in Palomar. We'll bring in Jacob Tammy for a segment when we come right back. If you have questions, email to leachreport@gmail.com or tweet them. Tweet today at Tom Leach KY. I'll get those a little easier here on location, and we'll be right back.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach KY.
Second half of our Monday Morning Quarterback edition of the Leach Report on location today in Palomar at Wild Eggs. Coach Ortmeier's with me, and we always bring in Jacob Tammy for a segment on these Monday shows. And Jacob, I know you were there with the family on Saturday. It was a tremendous atmosphere. You've been part of it when it was down on the field. What was it like to be part of it in the crowd?
I tell you. I don't know, Tom. It was great. I'm still, I'm past it. You know, Georgia was very good. Okay, we just weren't quite on their level yet. I'm okay with that. That was by far the best team we've played this year. and they played as good. They just played. They played a good game. Now, you know, you mentioned the crowd, and I'll tell you, that's probably the most disappointing part of the whole thing for me. Was we had unbelievable stakes on the line. We had an unbelievable atmosphere, but in my opinion, you know, being right there in it, it never got to that point where it became an unbelievable atmosphere. Before the game, it was, and at the opening kickoff, it was. But of course, we had that first drive stall out right there, and then we punt it to them, 60-yard return. The crowd never really got back. We had little spurts here and there, but it never became what it could have become, and that was tough. I thought that was a little bit disappointing. The game just never became one where we could utilize the crowd. So that was tough.
I was saying earlier, and it's the play that Coach Ortmeier pointed out when he sat down today is the one that was the key play of the game was the early punt return. I was saying, and I'll see if you agree with this, that this the thing that gave Kentucky a real shot here was the fact that it had the advantage in experience, whereas Georgia has more talent. They got a bunch of 4 and 5 stars. But this was a chance, your best chance to maybe get them, because they're the youngest team in the SEC. That's going to change over time. Kentucky's one of the more experienced teams in the SEC. And if you've got that young team and you get on top of them, and that crowd does get into the game, then that's where that experience and atmosphere starts to work in your favor instead of getting them off the hook when they're young.
Without question, and I was hoping we could do that. You know, it's part of what our success all season has been. We have a good senior-laden team, defensively, certainly. You know, and they just they got after us a little bit. You know, when I look at just the big picture of things, you know, I'm really looking forward to these next 3 weeks to see if we can get back to being that physically dominant team. We all talked about it the first 5 or 6 games of the year. It was incredible how dominant we were physically, and we've lost it since the A&M game. We've lost that a little bit, and you know, they were our first. I mean, we physically dominated Florida, South Carolina, and Mississippi State, and then you can't tell me that Texas A&M is just so much of a different animal. Georgia, so much of a different animal. They are probably better, but I can't, you know, I don't know why we're not as physically dominant as we were early in the season, and it's hurt us. I mean, the run game's hurt us. Terry's played good, man. Terry played good last week. He played good against Georgia. We missed the one ball to Bowden by a foot. I mean, deep. He threw away 3 balls out of bounds probably, and it, you know, on throwaways, he had to, and he ends up 23 of 29. You know, we still weren't able to get that spark going. That first third down, I just that hurt us. We ran Benny up the middle on 3rd and 6. I don't know. We never could quite get it going. But Georgia was better. Georgia was just flat out better. And you know, their running backs were healthy, and boy, they could do it. They were good, and they got us.
Yeah, Swift. I saw a quote from him where he said it was the first time he'd felt 100%, and 100% Swift is really good, as we saw.
He looked at, yes.
This is another thing Coach and I were talking about earlier. That's where what Kentucky has lost. And I remember when you were on here with us the Monday after the South Carolina game, you talked about seeing the offensive line lose a little bit of its nastiness, I think may have been your term, or its edge is the coach's terms, in the second half. No, and you're right. They have not. They've had three of the last 4 games are under 100 yards rushing. The way Kentucky's built, they're not going to be able to win tough games rushing for under 100 yards on a regular basis.
I think that we've got to get it going again. We've got to get it back. And I just, you know, a little anecdotal thing. I mean, the South Carolina game, ever since that the umpire got on us, because it was a back and forth, just a lot of talking, a lot of jawing in that game, and he ripped into everybody, South Carolina's defense, and he ripped into our whole O-line. That, you know, don't know exactly what he said, but, and I'm just telling you, since that play, we have not been the same offensive line. And, you know, in South Carolina, we didn't have to do anything great in the second half offensively. Then A&M was a tough monster. They got after us a little bit. Vandy, you know, we did okay. We did fine. Did what we needed to do. But we haven't been quite the same since that second half of the South Carolina game with our ability to run the football. And, you know, that was what was so fun, really, about those first few games of the season. It was like, man, holy smokes, not only did we beat Florida, we whooped them, you know. And we've lost a little bit of that, but I think we're capable of getting it back for a strong finish, because I mean, golly, I just one game at a time here. You know, obviously as a team, but as a fan looking from the outside, I mean, 10-2 is so realistic and so doable. The team has got to be fired up to go do that, and we got to get that nastiness back on the O line for sure. But we got to get it back.
Let me get you and Coach Ortmeier to talk about this a little bit, because you guys went through a similar situation in that 06 season where you go down to LSU and you get thumped. And I remember you had the open date and there was a real emphasis on getting back to being physical. And you did against Mississippi State and eked out a win, but it kind of rebooted, if you will, the team. And then next week you got Georgia, and by the end of the year went down and really beat up Tennessee in a game that could have easily won. So that you got that physicality back. You guys talk to me a little bit about how a team goes about doing that.
Well, I think that's what Jacob is saying right now, and that's what needs to be done, is that within the locker room, and some of it from the coaches too, but certainly within the locker room, there needs to be a mindset that we're going to get our physicality back. Because that will solve an awful lot of problems, and we've got the senior leadership and the veteran leadership that Jacob's talking about. So I think if they get their team will back and led by the offensive line, because that's where it's going to happen. Jacob, you're absolutely right. We need to get our physicality back, our dominance on the line of scrimmage offensively, and we can get this team back.
Jacob?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, I agree with everything that you're saying. I think, you know, I look at the physicality of our defense also. I mean, our defense has been phenomenal all season long. I mean, every week we keep saying, can we do it again? Can we do it again? I mean, arguably going into the Georgia game, we had the best defense in the country. And if we would have gone out and slowed them down more than we did, held them to 15, 20 points, something like that, we still might have the best defense in the country. We weren't quite able to do that. We played our worst game defensively, but we also played a team that was clicking and an O-line that was doing what they needed to do, and some running backs that were the two best running backs we played all season. So I want to see our defense get back. We're not playing Georgia next week. I want to see our defense get back to playing like they have all season and really shut down Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, Louisville, for goodness sakes. I mean, I really hope to see our defense get back to playing shutdown ball. They've been phenomenal all year. You can't keep asking so much of them, but we kind of got knocked off our feet for the first time all season last week, and I'm interested to see how they respond.
I will be surprised if they don't, the defensive guys in particular, how well they've played, what they've done this year, what we saw in that second half of the Missouri game. I'll be very surprised if we don't see them bounce back with an A game.
I will too. I will too. It's a mindset, and they need to get it established starting today.
Offensively, you can't be as confident until you see it, because it's been a little bit of a longer stretch here where they've kind of lost their identity of who they were in September. But I think if you can get that back, now you've got Jacob, as you were saying, you've got an improving quarterback to complement that physical running game if you get it back.
Terry's doing exactly what we said he would do early in the season. Coach Ort said it. You know, Terry's going to improve as the season goes on, and he has. He still takes a bad sack every once in a while, but I'll tell you what, other than that, I can't poke any holes in his game the other day. He played good. He got away from some sacks, some pressures. He got left to dry once by the O-line on a busted protection. He threw accurate footballs. I mean, the first pass of the game, comeback route was just on the money, and he had those all day long. He was right. He was throwing accurate footballs all day. So he's improving. We just got to find – I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's what the combination of play calling and offensive line and receivers getting open. We've got to find the right – mix to get more points on the board. We just, the last few weeks, and we went to Gunnar Hoke back, you know, the two games ago, because it wasn't that Terry was playing bad, but we needed some kind of spark, you know, and it didn't work. Mm-hmm. Of course, Terry came back in and everything worked, you know, but that we still got to find that spark, and I don't know where it is. You know, Lynn Bowden's been trying his rear end off. He's been phenomenal the last few games. But, you know, we got to find that spark offensively. We've got to score touchdowns. We've got to find ways to get in the end zone.
When offenses are clicking, you can sense a rhythm that there is there to the calls, the plays, the guys make spectacular plays because things are going well. But it's easier. I'm sure, Jacob, you can speak to this from playing at all levels. It's easier to identify that maybe than to fix it sometimes.
You know, Tom, what you said is exactly right. I mean, it's a great way to describe what our problem is right now. We are without rhythm on offense. We don't have rhythm right now. And, you know, earlier in the season we did, because we were getting those first down runs consistently for 3, 4, 5, 6. You know, when I played with, you know, played 7 years with Peyton, one of the things he always used to say was, and I loved it because it gives you a new mindset, hey, you know, we don't have to get in a third down every possession. We can go first down, second down, first down. We can go first down, first down. You know, we don't have to get ourselves in a bunch of third and twos, although those are better than third and eights. But, man, when an offense is clicking, when you've got rhythm, sometimes you skip some third downs, you know. Let's go first down, first down, first down, second down, first down. And we just don't – we have not had that rhythm in 4 or 5 weeks. And, you know, we got to find it. We got to find it these last few games.
Absolutely right. Jake, appreciate you jumping on with us as always. Talk next week.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
It's Jacob Tammy joining us here on the Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday morning edition of the Leach Report on location at Wild Eggs in Palomar. We'll take a break, come back with Coach Ortmeier and any of your questions when we return.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Coming up next, it's Kentucky Sports Radio with Matt Jones.
Back into our Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday morning quarterback edition of the Leach Report. We're on location at the Wild Eggs in Palomar. And if you come out during our show or after, tell them you're a fan of the Leach Report on these Mondays, and you'll get free coffee for your whole table. There's something, if you guys didn't see it on Twitter, you should look this up. It was a tweet from a gentleman named Coy, C-O-Y, Wire, W-I-R-E, who it says here, a sports anchor and correspondent for CNN. Is a tweet of a piece that he did with Josh Allen, and it talks about Josh being made fun of growing up and going home crying at times. And he was, it says, faced challenges being underprivileged with a speech impediment, but he turned his pain into power. It's just a really powerful and excellent story on Josh, and he handles himself so well in this, and just makes you want to root for him even more than you already do. There are a lot of people that have similar issues, and Josh can be an inspiration to them. So look that up if you get a chance. It'll lift your spirits a little bit today. Let's get to a call for our show here from John. What's up, John?
Hello, Tom. I have a question for you and Coach. Many times you have a great college player, and sometimes their game doesn't translate to the NFL. I was wondering if it's possible that Benny could get some feedback that might kind of persuade him to return to college next year. Do you think that's any possibility whatsoever?
John, thank you for the call.
I think that's an outside possibility, John. It really is. I think that that Benny needs to sit down with Coach Stoops and with some NFL people and put an intelligent decision together. He's not going to prove anything else to the NFL. That's the problem. He's not going to prove anything else next year, and so he puts himself a bit at risk. But to me, and this I'm saying this from a guy who's been in professional football all his life,
general manager.
Yeah, to me, the college experience that Benny can have next year is worth staying. It's not all money to me. It's life experiences, and that could be good for Benny. But my feeling is that the advice he's going to get is you can't improve yourself. Come now.
Yeah, I would say, John, my guess is it's unlikely because of what Coach is saying, and that Benny's not going to be the fastest guy at the combine. Benny, to me, is a guy that you're going to come to appreciate a lot more in practice than you ever will in a combine.
Yeah, Benny has one thing, in my opinion, really going for him, and that is that because he lacks speed, which is such a big factor in the NFL, because he lacks speed, he's going to get with a team that needs him. And I keep saying, Benny is the perfect back for the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
He's absolutely the perfect back for the Patriots because they can plug him in and not have expectations that are beyond his means.
I don't know if that could make me root for the Patriots, but it might keep me from rooting against them. But anyway, John, that's kind of how we see that. I'd say enjoy him for these final four games and try to root him home to set the school rushing record with factoring in a bowl game. I think he needs to average. I was looking at the Herald Leader numbers last night. I think around 101 yards needs to be his average, and that's under where he is right now. But trending down as to what we were talking about recently with the running game, and so they need to get that crank back up. And if they do, then I think he'll have a strong finish and probably head off to the NFL. And back to the running game, I've got to try to find these numbers this week, go back and do some research. But Kentucky, going into the Missouri game, I know I'd looked up when it was third and three or less, and there's a site called cfbstats.com where you can find a lot of this. They were converting 71% of the time. When it was third and seven or more, it was 17%. Now, everybody's going to have their percentage go down when you need more distance, but I think that's a greater disparity than you normally would see. And I suspect that there's been a lot more seven and longer third down plays in this stretch of the last four or five games than there were before.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right about that, and quite probably, we're all reaching and grasping a little bit today.
That's
we're all
point.
Stung a little bit, but the simplest resolution to this situation, in my opinion, is for the offensive line to put this team on their back like they did at the start of this year. For the offensive line to be determined to win the line of scrimmage, make Benny be what he can be, and that will take care of a lot of ills.
I think you're right. Our guests here on the show each day join us on the Kentucky Branded Hotline, like Jacob Tammy did earlier. We're going to get to a break. Coach Ortmeyer's here in our final segment of the Leach Report from the Wild Eggs in Palomar. We'll be right back. We are back for our final segment of the Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday Morning Quarterback Show on location at Wild Eggs each week. We're at Palomar today, Hamburg next week. Tomorrow will be all basketball with Larry Vaught. I'm sure we'll talk some footballs too. But Mike DeCourcy will join us in the second half of the show tomorrow, talking a lot about the Kentucky-Duke game that tips off the college basketball season at the Champions Classic in Indianapolis tomorrow night. But as far as to wrap up our football show here, Coach, it's all about bouncing back with the right mindset Saturday. If they do that, I think they'll be fine.
And that's what this team deserves. They deserve to bounce back. So let's get it together and get the locker room together and bounce back.
I think that's definitely needs to be the plan. Coach Steve Ortmeyer joins us every Monday here on the Leach Report, Monday Morning Quarterback Edition. And we caught up to Jacob Tammy on the Kentucky Branded Hotline. So same plan next Monday. Donato Slice of Wildcat history. This day in 83, coming off a winless season in Jerry Claiborne's second year, Kentucky went down to Vandy and won 17-8 and clinched a bid in the Hall of Fame Bowl. Big day in 83. Happy birthdays to Trey Lyles and former Kentucky kicker Lona Siever. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to The Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow The Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to LeachReport@gmail.com. See you next time, right here on The Leach Report.